Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago, I'm Gwen Macsai, and this is ReSound. ReSound is a remix of music, documentaries, found sound, sound bites, and audio oddities we find all over the world. We go online, on the air, on a wing and a prayer to celebrate the best audio being made on the radio and for the internet.
Rock and roll!
If you tried to chart the evolution of the rock and roll fan in the same way you might the evolution of man, the figure on the far left, the primitive fan, would probably be a stooped-over, pimply 13-year-old boy, who then would morph into a semi-upright frat guy, who morphs into a married 30-something, and then finally, on the right of the chart, is the aging fan, once again stooped, with a beer belly, a bald spot, and a basement full of LPs. Not that girls and women aren't rock and roll fans. I mean, I am. We are. But you have to admit, the iconic image of rock and roll on stage and off is very male. Well, today on ReSound, we'll meet a band that challenges these ideas about rock and roll and gender. Les Zeppelin. That's right, not Led, but Les, is an all-female tribute band that's earned the respect and adoration of rockers young and old, male and female. Their story is told by Amy Jane Hall, a smart, feisty 15-year-old, and Alan, her radio-producing, mediocre guitar-playing father, who's skeptical at first that a bunch of women would be able to do his rock gods any real justice. Well, how wrong he turned out to be. Here's Heartbreakers, the story of all-girl Zepp.
Oh, my two favorite things, Zeppelin and lesbians.
Awesome.
To be honest with you, I was a bit pissed when I booked it, right? So I thought it was the male one, but it's a female one. So I was thinking, you know, female band, maybe there's going to be more females in the audience. But seeing what's in there now, it's all men, so I'm going to go back in there and have a little scout, yeah?
Heartbreakers, the story of all girls at.
I'm Sarah McClellan. Some way emulating Robert Plant. I'm definitely in the trousers.
I am Helen Destroy, and I. Do the drumming. And,
I'm Lisa Brigantino. I play bass, keyboards, and mandolin. I am encapsulating John Paul Jones.
I'm Steph Paynes. And I play the guitar. I think everyone can guess who I'm. There's only one guy left, and I'm him.
Why Led Zeppelin? Why not?
Hey! I'm Amy Jane Hall. Hey! And this is my dad. Hey! He's a Zepp fan. Hey!
Led Zeppelin is heterosexual music. It is for young men. And I'm not quite sure what's in it for women.
Till the juice runs down my leg.
It's ridiculously ballsy, yes.
me, baby.
It's almost obscene. Until the juice and down my
leg. It's hard to believe, but my dad used to produce classical music programs for the BBC. The way you squeeze my lemon, I'm gonna fall right out of bed. Now he just strums Zeppelin tunes really badly. When he heard about this all-girl Led Zeppelin tribute band, he got really quite excited and wanted to make a programme about them, a study of gender in rock. Yeah.
I was in a band when I was 14, 15. Played guitar really badly. I tried playing trumpet, but not on any Zeppelin numbers.
And perhaps it was more about himself. My dad, as an adolescent. Heartbreaker from Led Zepp 2. Les Zeppelin are fronted by an Australian, Sarah McLellan. But the main man, sort of, is Steph Paynes. She's Jimmy Page. This summer they're playing at Bonnaroo, which is quite big. Last autumn they toured Europe and Dad went to see them in London. He didn't take me. It was a school night.
Sometimes I think about it and I think I must be out of my bloody mind.
He thought it might be a bit loud, a bit late, a bit adult.
It's the most ridiculous thing anyone's ever done. Who do I think I am?
And that's what some of the audience are also wondering.
I'll tell you the truth. The reason we've come in here tonight is that one morning I was on the computer. I saw Led Zeppelin. Now, I thought it was Led Zeppelin. So I was... And then I texted all of my mates, and they're all guys, and said, quickly, it's Led Zeppelin. And because Led Zeppelin. So I booked the tickets, and I said to my husband, who's a big Led Zeppelin fan, we've got tickets for Led Zeppelin. And he said, oh, it's a stupid. And then they all looked at it and said, they're all a girl band. And then I thought, well, OK, then, it's a night out. So hence, sorry, that's why we're here.
Thing is, Dad's still not very good at the guitar.
I can still remember the moment when I was sitting on the back of the single-decker Margate to Ramsgate school bus, and these boys, maybe 2 years older than me, were sitting in the back row, and one of them unzipped his bag and brought out this record. And I'd never seen anything like it. There was no... The band's name wasn't on it or anything like that. But me and my mate, we were tolerated kind of looking at this thing. And they said it was... Led Zeppelin. It takes a little bit of working into this one. And this album was clearly a very, very grown-up thing because it was essentially black. And you opened it up and it listed the tracks, and there were probably only two songs on each side, you know, and on one side, Dazed and Confused. It was the 26 minutes, it was the entire, you know, this is really grown-up music, this is not for children. And I was about 13, clearly on the cusp. And that was no good at all. I wonder if Steph Paynes can do it.
Rock? I just got into it all by myself. Sort of in this little strange, maybe it was like a miracle, because my parents weren't into it either. My dad is into jazz. Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. So But I think that, you know, I was in my own little world and discovered rock, and I had a friend across the street and she had older brothers and they had, you know, a lot of this music. And so sometimes when I would go to her house, I would hear it and I would kind of go through their CDs and their records and stuff. And sometimes I'd make trades, you know, for teeny bop stuff, and she'd trade their records to me, which is really very clever of me. But it was just, I guess, hearing it, seeing it. I just wanted to play the guitar, so I don't know, maybe I'm just a freak. You need cooling, baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna send you back to school. Way down inside, honey, you need it. I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my.
Steph Paynes is the hammer driving Les Zeppelin. She dresses the part and plays guitar really well. And she seems to have tapped a nerve with this idea of a female Zepp.
I had been between gigs when I kind of came up with the idea, and I just thought, literally, if I could play anything, what would I play? And I just thought, this is what I would play. I would just love to, like, be in Led Zeppelin and do this kind of thing. It would be so satisfying in every way. And then I just thought, you know, why not do it? It was literally following my bliss, just saying, why not? Go play Led Zeppelin music. It'll be fun. I bet you could get gigs and, yeah, you know. I mean, I didn't really know about tribute bands. I'd never been in one. Didn't know anything about the scene. I just really wanted to play the music. So I thought, oh, I'll get, and we'll get girls to do it. You know, the last really powerful band I'd been in was with all girls. So I had no doubt I could eventually find them.
Bit stupid, isn't it? And the one that everyone wants to play and that is barred from guitar shops. You can't ever play this if you go into a guitar shop.
And banned from the house, at least when Mum's at home. I can play it better myself.
What? Can you pass me one of those apples?
Derek comes out of the theatre, and she was really a dancer who could also quite coincidentally sing. And she was sort of, had just finished a job, I guess she was doing 42nd Street on Broadway. You should see her tap dance, I mean, it's incredible.
I might rinse that if I were you.
Helen, the drummer, is as... I would say almost as deeply cut by it as I am. She learned the drums by playing John Bonham riffs. So she has a very deep reverence for the music.
I do feel very connected to what I'm doing because I love it and admire it so much that it almost comes out easily.
I'm like a one-eyed cat peeking in a seafood store.
And Lisa is more of an all, you know, she has a master's degree in music. She studied composition. She really can't, this is her first, I would say she's played rock music before, but she's never been in a heavy rock band like this before.
For me, one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I love to play this music is it's so challenging, stylistically diverse. It gives me an opportunity to play a lot of different instruments in one concert, in one show, and that keeps me on my toes, so I really like that.
So, you've seen this, right? I bought this when I was your age. Now all the pages are coming out. It's Led Zepp Complete. And it's printed with this typeface, a huge black, dense letters Led Zeppelin across the front. And it's got every song in it, album by album. But of course, it's completely useless. It's meaningless, transcribed for piano. This music isn't about notes on paper, it's about the attitude with which it's played. And the thing about Led Zeppelin, say, who devote themselves to this sacred canon of Led Zeppelin's music, is, I mean, they don't just have to play the notes, they have to study every nuance.
When you get very deeply into somebody's music in the way that we are at this point, where we've all, on our own and collectively, have studied what they've done, and this is purely out of love for what they've done, and also in this, you know, desperate attempt to kind of unlock the key to, you know, what makes the greatest rock band tick, you know, what makes it work, you know, I think we're all interested in that.
For us, it's almost what they would have done if they had been playing live, and that's how I kind of, I know, you know, for example, with guitar, too, there are a couple licks that Jimmy Page does. He's got his little signature thing, and John Bonham has the same thing. There are drum fills that he uses a lot, so I go, all right, what would he have done here? Well, there's this catalog, and I can just kind of pull this, and I'm sure that at some point he did do that here, so that feels accurate to me, and, you know, whatever feels good, and we play off each other that way, and that's exciting.
The Ocean from Houses of the Holy.
I love this. 4/4 and 7/8.
Singing in the sunshine, laughing in the rain, hitting on the moonshine, rocking in the grain. Got no time to pack my bike, my foot outside the door. I got a date, I can't be late for the hell I'm looking for.
The difficulty any tribute band has, I think, is that popular music is so associated with the voice, with the character of the musicians, with gesture, so that individuality, that signature, is stamped on the music by the makers. Anyone who's trying to emulate that really does have to walk in the shoes of the band.
Once you move to a certain space where you're that comfortable as a musician within what you're doing, your own self comes out, your own musical self. And we like to think that that's what's happening for us. I mean, that's at least what we're experiencing on stage, is we're very much expressing ourselves through this music of Led Zeppelin. So whatever girliness or sexiness, whatever it is that we've got, is also coming through. We really couldn't stop it, you see. It just happens. There is a bit of them, certainly, that audiences pick up on, and yet there's a lot of us.
La 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 la. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la.
Sarah McLellan singing songs to the girl who won her heart.
4/4 and 7/8.
Trying to emulate these people or trying to channel them, it is one thing, but then vocally, as a woman, I'm never I'm never really going to sound exactly like Robert, you know? But I think what I try to do is kind of go beyond just the vocals and kind of get some sort of, like, sensuality behind it and stage presence and passion and power and that sort of thing and challenge him in that way.
We're looking very much forward to seeing them. We know very little about them. We're hoping they're lesbians.
They're lesbians.
Oh, that's what they all think. So they all think it's going to be a night of just lesbians.
And our mate, who's not here, Rob, he's in love.
The singer.
Yeah. Well, no, I think with all of them, really, but especially the singer.
Who did I think we were going to play for? I really didn't know until we started. But I just assumed, well, people will probably want to hear this music. And it did occur to me that being girls doing it would be a novelty. It would be a twist. But that wasn't primarily the reason. And it wasn't primarily a money-making objective or really anything like that. This was begun out of a pure desire to just explore this music and to see how deep we could get into it.
They do get in really deep, with not just the long hair, the right clothes and the bare tummies, but the whole rock and roll posturing thing. They even write their own songs in the Led Zepp style.
But they're not just mimicking the postures of the band. It's not just an impersonation, not merely a tribute. I think it's an homage.
I was a little horrified by the tributes. When someone pointed out to me, I was a little horrified, and I decided immediately, I'm not doing that. And a decision was made very early on to not call this a tribute band, to not sign up with the tribute band circuit. Everyone had this idea, oh yeah, we'll get the all-girl AC/DC and the all-girl this, and we'll put you together and you guys can play together and do a tour. And it was like, no, not doing it.
Yeah, so that T-shirt you're wearing,
yeah. That's
more evidence, that is, that Led Zeppelin live. I bought that in Nebworth in 1979. I did tell you, didn't I? I saw them twice
mm-hmm. When
I was a kid. And I used to fit into that little white T-shirt with the Swan Song logo on the front and Led Zeppelin in iconic typeface all around it, and then Nebworth 79. I bought it in a field in Hertfordshire one day when I was a little bit drunk. And we camped really uncomfortably in this field and then had to sit really uncomfortable in another field for about 14 hours waiting for them to come on stage.
Still with sweat on it from 30 years ago.
I don't think it's mine. I think that could easily be yours.
No.
But anyway, they were awesome, as you might say.
No, you don't say that anymore.
So I bought it when I was 16, and that's what you'll be next birthday. So it must be one of the coolest things anyone could possibly wear to a gig in South London. What goes round, huh?
My son, and he was brought up listening to Led Zeppelin tracks, and he loves Led Zeppelin as much as I do, and I'm quite old, so I remember them, and so is he, so does he.
And we just think, I haven't seen Led Zeppelin before, but I think if you get four girls that can do Led Zeppelin, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
It's going to be very interesting to see how girls actually can replicate, you know, the greatness of Led Zeppelin.
On stage, Les Zeppelin embody Led Zeppelin, but in female form. The gig was amazing, really loud, 100% pure Zeppelin, except Zeppelin with other bits.
But this isn't Led Zeppelin.
No, but it's not so far off. It's got the same amplified primal insistence, riff-based and raunchy. They're not playing games with this music.
I think a lot of people are kind of expecting it to be some sort of circus act and some sort of gimmick. And we love that sort of, like, scepticism, because then it gives us an opportunity to really kind of blow them away, and they become very loyal fans then.
And they were playing to this swelling sea of unappetizing men of a certain age who still feel every riff, every thunderous drum break. They mean it, Les Zepp.
My definition of authentic is not simply to go and play the same notes they played. And when we get on stage, once we know the material and can play it, that's not even the point. The point is to be completely and totally there. In the sound, in the music, in the spirit that you've created. It's almost like creating a spell. And once you're in that magical place, then let it happen.
Kashmir from Physical Graffiti. Now this is a magical Zepp place.
Kashmir. Quintessential, epic, classic. Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face. Stars to fill my dreams. I'm a traveler of both time and space. To be where I have been. Sit with elders of a gentle race. The world has seldom seen. Top of days. As a mature man now, well, not very mature man, I would suggest that pretty well all pop and rock music is fundamentally adolescent. It's that rebel yell, isn't it? It's that sort of sticking two fingers up at the establishment. It's a kind of posturing. But within it, there is some music that's slightly more on the grown-up end of things. That classic golden era stuff, Zeppelin, Hendrix, Marvin Gaye. But it is also adolescent because of the swagger that comes with the music. It's about young men full of themselves and their own importance. Strutting.
Is it primarily adolescent? It might be. It might have its roots in that. I mean, it certainly appeals to that very well. I sometimes feel like an adolescent boy. But I can tell you that the strutting your stuff as a female is very sexually effective, how about we say that, for a male audience and a female audience. I mean, they get turned on by watching women do this the same way that they might as watching men. And they certainly are turned on by watching men do it.
It's funny how the music of young men with long hair who scream like girls is now being performed by screaming young women with long hair who are girls. All I see
turns to brown. I get out there and I still am sexual in a female way. But there's something about this music, and it's not a conscious thing at all, that there is some sort of masculine aspect about the way that I'm carrying myself out there. You know, it's this blend of both. So the people in the audience, men and women, are both attracted to this thing. And it doesn't matter what kind of sexual orientation you have, it's an attraction, and it's like an unexplained, it's just, it's there. It's a pure sexual, animalistic thing.
Hey, hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
If you're not bringing sex to it, it's not Zeppelin.
Robert Plant and Jimmy Page were so feminine on stage, it wasn't even funny. You know, they may have been some of the biggest cock rockers out there, if you will. But the way they carried themselves and the way they dressed and Robert's whole little flopped hand over, you know, his all of his kind of movements. In many ways, I think I'm more masculine than Robert.
Led Zeppelin are so sure in their sexuality that they can even allow for this play between Robert Plant wearing a blouse and Jimmy Page exposing his tummy and wearing a spangly jacket. So to my eyes, as an adolescent boy, it never suggested anything other than a kind of full-blooded male heterosexuality.
Same time, it's a very feminine empowerment. I think all of that was at work, especially among their audience of, you know, adolescent males, which supposedly was their audience by and large, 14 to 21 year old guys in the US, who I think were feeling extremely turned on by Led Zeppelin and not really knowing, you know, why or how, and it doesn't really matter, but I think the whole sexual power of it, I think they were into the band for whatever reason, and I think it's a beautiful thing, really. But I think, you know, they weren't sitting, I want to sleep with Robert Plant, although some of them have admitted that.
Yeah, they have.
To us after shows.
Not until now, when they feel okay to say, I want to sleep with Sarah McClellan, you know, do they realize, you know, it's okay to want to sleep with Robert Plant.
Suddenly the headlines will be, oh, Led Zeppelin fans gay, want to sleep with Robert Plant, says Led Zeppelin guitarist. She also says she wants to sleep with Sarah McLachlan. No, I'm kidding.
I'd rather have young women doing it than nasty old men thinking they're young, cool and sexy.
Something about this music, us all being women, and there's really a sense on stage sometimes where I'm like, you know what, we are rocking harder than they did.
People have this misnomer of cock rock, if you will, which I actually hate that term. And I think it's wrongly used here, because I think that if you really look at Led Zeppelin's canon, what you'll find is an incredible array of all sorts of dynamic things. Yes, very hard, very heavy rock and roll, but also beautiful, light, acoustic, Celtic-tinged melodies and a lot of songs that have extreme dynamic in them.
Zeppelin aren't really a heavy band at all. They bring together Delta blues with English folk, loud with quiet. And Sandy Denny, the Queen of Light. She was the original Zepp girl, I suppose.
The Battle of Evermore from the untitled fourth album.
The members of Led Zeppelin had a lot of different musical influences, including, you know, people like Joni Mitchell, who I think nobody would think of as a male, you know, cock rocker. You know, I mean, she's one of our leading, if not one of our greatest singer-songwriters and very quote-unquote feminine. I hear chorus of thunder down in the valley below. I'm waiting for the angels of Babylon, waiting for the eastern glow. The apples of the valley, oh, all the seeds of happiness. The ground is rich from tender care. Repay, do not forget. No, no, dance in the dark night. It's into the morning light. The apples turn to brown and black. The tyrant's face is red.
You're listening to Heartbreakers, the story of All Girls Zepp with me, Amy Jane Hall, on ABC Radio National's Into the Music. Where Dad goes off into a world of his own. He's got this white man sings the blues thing, or an American woman plays the blues thing. And just like Steph Payne's, he loves Since I've Been Loving You, even now.
Thing is, when they're doing songs like I Can't Quit You Babe, or In My Time of Dying, or my personal favourite, Since I've Been Loving You, it's where the band's completely at their peak.
And Since I've Been Loving You, well, first of all, it's in C minor, which is, you know, not the most common blues key. You know, everyone's playing in E, everyone's playing in A. C minor, you know, it's trickier. So kudos to them.
You get all the light and the shade. You get the volume and you get the softness. You get the tightness and the looseness. You get all of those things.
Usually the fifth of the blues, the five chord, is a major chord, as in any basic chord progression. In Since, it's not. It's a minor. So you go to the fifth, it's G minor. And that changes the whole thing right at the onset.
Steph Payne's models the Les Zepp performance of Since I've Been Loving You on the LA Forum gig of 1972.
And it means something beyond the words, beyond Since I've Been Loving You, beyond the heartache, beyond all the strutting. It means something much more profound, something essentially untranscribable.
And makes it, in my opinion, really, really interesting and luscious, you know?
We've been working from 7 to 8. 11 every night. Oh, really makes life a drag. Oh, I don't think that's right, no. I'm feeling the best of fools. Oh, have mercy, I did what I could, yeah. I was up your babe. Oh, I love you. Tell you, love.
I said I tried.
And then, of course, at the end, it goes to this E-flat major chord, and it's almost like the whole song then lifts to another level, and it gets even higher, you know, that's what happens with it. And it just completely, you know, it's volcanic at that point, at the end of this very intense blues.
Sadly, of course, I learned to play all these songs when I was 15, and 30 years later,
thank you,
they're still the only songs I can play.
The only songs he still can't play. He doesn't like to think that his 15-year-old daughter might be able to play his favourite music better than he can.
It was never a sense of old school or male, particularly male rock or anything like that. I never really thought of it that way, and I still don't. To me, it's just damn good. But wow, it is beloved text, this stuff.
Thank you.
the dad's secret love revealed.
Right, you've got to see this. The third album, which is the folky one, with the bizarre cover and everything. Now, it's got this dial within the front sleeve, and the thing was, you could identify Led Zeppelin fans' allegiance by who they had appearing in the window, because there you see there are holes cut in the front of the sleeve and images of the band appear underneath, and there's Jimmy Page, for example, with some flowers. But I wasn't actually interested in Jimmy Page and the flowers. What I was interested in, oh, that's John Bonham. But this was my favourite position. You could line up the images so that in the big one to the right, you've got a kind of black and white, shady John Paul Jones. And then you also get John Paul Jones in this little one on the left. So that was my favourite position for Led Zeppelin 3.
Standing at the front of a Led Zeppelin gig 20 years ago, 30 years ago, right, with an erection, because that would make me gay, and I'm not gay.
They were more Zepp and Les. Les.
Excellent. They're excellent. Their keyboard, interaction, brilliant. Stage presence, fantastic. Music, they're dogs.
They were more Zepp and less
Les. More Les than Zepp.
I don't think they were teasing the male.
Yeah. Well,
no, never.
A lot of Led Zeppelin lyrics are sexy.
Maybe. There was a bit of pouting and kind of trying to look at me.
She's got a lovely bum, anyway.
Who?
Yeah, the singer.
That's not the issue.
It didn't matter that they were women, but what was nice was it was nice to see women doing music that only men think they can do.
Yes, agreed, yes. That's good.
There is a very large audience that loves this music and they want to hear us do it. And they're coming to see how this music is performed in this day and age with this group of people, with our own take on the material. You know, when it comes time for a solo, the solos are informed by the way that person maybe played, but they're not note for note.
Right.
So we can really bring ourselves to the party, and you really feel that you are being creative even though you're playing someone else's music.
Thank you. From Led Zeppelin 2.
So, Amy, what's your favourite Led Zeppelin song?
I pretty much like it all, really.
Do you like it amplified or do you like it acoustic?
I quite like acoustic stuff.
Do you like the American blues or do you like the English folk?
I like English folk.
And who's your favourite band member?
I like Robert Plant.
Oh, yeah? Why do you like Robert Plant?
Because he's, I don't know, he's nice.
Do you know who my favourite is?
Yep.
Who's my favourite?
John Paul Jones.
We get so many people who come up to us after shows and said, you know, Led Zeppelin are my favourite band in the world, and I never got a chance to see them. So for me, you are the only live experience of this music I've ever had, and that is so special and so incredibly precious to them. And I think now, and us too, yes.
I love being responsible for that experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. My love is strong. There is no wrong. Together we shall go until we die.
So what do you think about your old man having seen this band that's kind of the talk of your generation actually in concert?
Quite jealous, really.
I mean, every once in a while, there's someone who stands in front of you and they stutter and they can't speak. Some grown man who said, you know, I'm a grown man and you made me weep during that solo or whatever. I mean, how great is that?
I'm never going to see them, like, for real. But I suppose you might let me see Les Zepp.
We could go.
Go to Bonnaroo?
Not Bonnaroo. If they come back to London, we could go.
Yeah.
Bonnaroo?
Being accepted and applauded for being this woman that hasn't always been what we've been told to be. And to have success from it and, you know, to have people respect and love you for it is such an incredible feeling, and I think that is what, for me, is so hard to describe because I don't quite know how I got here.
People know what they are getting when they're getting good Led Zeppelin, you know. And they're stunned because they really don't think we can do it. So we're almost spoon-feeding this idea to them that women can play by giving them something familiar and then saying, all right, here, you know, I've just painted like Da Vinci. Check that out.
There will still be you and me.
If you try too hard to be exactly what they were, I actually think it sounds less like them. Because you know what? It's never going to be that. I don't care how good you are. It's just not. But that would be really beside the point.
Heartbreakers, the story of all-girl Zepp, was produced by Katie Birmingham and presented by Amy Jane Hall with Alan Hall for Falling Tree Productions, based in London.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Resound. I'm Gwen Maxey. Ugh, I hate heavy metal. And even though he grew up listening to it, so does radio producer John Moe. But turns out, his children love it. And rather than ban it from the house, leaving them to learn about it later in life from complete strangers, John decided that they needed to find out about it first at home, from their father. Here's Children of Metal.
I had heard great things about this band, Wolf Mother, so I downloaded this song, Dimension, and played it for my kids. They loved it.
Can we listen to Wolf Mother again?
My only problem? It's heavy metal. See, I grew up in the suburbs in the 80s. I have a lot of unhappy teenage metal memories. Leather wristbands, Camaros, mullets, violence. But then I went to college, moved to the city, subscribed to The New Yorker. Now I usually listen to stuff like this. I shun metal, but better my kids learn about it from me than on the streets. So, how do I design a heavy metal curriculum? I looked up Kevin Dubrow from the band Quiet Riot. This guy.
Well, I think you need to start with Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix?
Yeah, absolutely. He was definitely one of the founding fathers of heavy metal. Hendrix was incredibly heavy. Listen to Foxy Lady of Purple Haze.
So I gathered the kids for heavy metal lessons. Charlie is 6, Kate is 4. Nobody had ever sounded like Jimi Hendrix before. And you hear that big, heavy guitar sound?
Yeah.
So that big, heavy guitar sound is a big part of heavy metal. Black Sabbath proved trickier, especially lead singer Ozzy Osbourne. And he went a little crazy, and he bit the head off of a bat.
What do you mean?
We dropped Ozzy and moved on to Led Zeppelin. Blasted through Whole Lotta Love, Misty Mountain Hop, and Kashmir. The kids dug Zeppelin. Those killer hooks, Robert Plant's scream. I dug it, too. But then the kids wanted to know if we could go see them sometime. Well, their drummer died, and then the rest of the guys decided that they didn't want to be in a band together anymore.
Drummer died.
I think he drank too much bad stuff, like grown-up drinks, like beer and wine and stuff. He drank a lot of those.
Like, he didn't drink any stuff from, like water?
I was ruining everything. My kids were suddenly frightened and sad. They loved metal, but now the genre was full of bad eaters and drummers who didn't drink enough water. No fun. But some heavy metal bands were lots of fun. There was Skid Row in the 80s. Big hair, big smiles, spandex, fun. I tracked down their former lead singer, Sebastian Bach. He's also the father of two and told me the scholarly approach was off base.
Concentrate on the music, not behind the music. Have fun with it, because rock and roll, number one, is fun. Like when I was a kid, me and my buddies would crank up our favorite record and get tennis rackets or shovels or whatever and just rock out in our bedrooms for hours and be exhausted. And I never thought that that really literally is what I would do for a living.
He sounds happy. Suddenly, inspiration struck. And heavy metal wasn't just something we listened to.
Is there any, young metal, heavy metal bands or anything?
I don't know if there are any with six-year-olds, but you could be the first if you want.
Can we make a band in our family?
What do you want to call our heavy metal band?
The Fighting Ninjas. I'm gonna be the singer. How about we design t-shirts, but in different sizes?
I have one from Tom Polly Pockets.
How does Polly Pockets go?
Polly Pockets.
Turns out my bad memories of heavy metal were just memories of bad times where metal happened to be playing. And kids were a gateway to redemption and joy. I'm metal again, just not so heavy.
Children of Metal by John Moe, host of Weekend America, where this story originally aired. ReSound is a production of the Third Coast International Audio Festival, an independent media arts organization in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. ReSound is produced by Delaney Hall and curated by Johanna Zorn and Julie Shapiro of the Third Coast Festival. The Third Coast Festival is made possible with lead funding from the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, with additional funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and sponsorship from Chicago's Navy Pier, American Airlines, and ExploreChicago.org, the City of Chicago's official tourism website. The festival is produced in partnership with the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University, and it was founded by Chicago Public Radio. Music for ReSound is provided by Reckless Records in Chicago. ReSound returns next week with more radio that you can't hear anywhere else, unless you live everywhere else.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.